Chapter 10. Eyes of Treasure. Meanwhile, in the princess's chambers, Shale prepared the princess for her day. She'd woken Angel with tea and biscuits at the rise of the sun, having her dress already laid out on the bed. After small talk and an early breakfast, the maidservant combed the princess's hair, and Angel peeked through the mirror to find her maidservant disheveled and hiding it poorly. Shale had always been Angel's favorite maidservant, so of course she had to inquire. "Is something the matter, Shale?" asked Angel. The maidservant perked up and shook her head. "No, princess. Just call me Angel." The maidservant nodded lightly and went back to Angel's hair. The princess had grown wise enough over the verses and close enough to Shale to come to an educated conclusion. Angel said, "I never told you why I asked you to cover for me. With everything going on in our kingdom right now, it must be troubling you not knowing what I was up to." Shale stopped combing and looked upward, keeping her head facing down. She caught eyes with Angel briefly, then continued combing again. "I trust whatever it was important, Angel." Calling the princess by her first name must have been difficult to get used to. "I'm different, aren't I?" asked Angel. "Different? How so?" "Oh, come on, Shale. You don't need to pretend around me." Angel stared at herself in the mirror. "What color are my eyes?" Shale looked up. "Almost golden." "Right," said Angel. "Mother used to call me Honey Gold. She said she got that nickname because that's how she described the color of my eyes, a color she'd never seen before." She paused. "What color are my parents' eyes?" The maidservant looked up as if to search her thoughts, but said nothing. "Brown and green," Angel said. Shale's eyes shook. She forced a smile and said, "Perhaps the Milds blessed you with eyes of treasure, then." Angel half smiled back. "Must have. And I guess the same goes for my hair that's darker than theirs, and my glowing beige skin, as my mother always put it." "You're a special lady, my princess." Shale laid down the comb, marched to the bed, and began working out the wrinkles in Angel's dress. Angel stood from the chair and marched to her maidservant. "Why do I get the feeling everyone in the kingdom knows me better than I do? Why do I get the feeling no one is sharing the truth with me?" "I wouldn't lie to you, princess. I told you, call me Angel. And maybe you wouldn't lie, but you might keep the truth hidden. Do you want to know why I'm sneaking? Do you want to know where I was off to when I asked you to cover for me?" The maidservant said nothing but tended to her princess's dress. Angel grabbed Shale's wrist, startling her, then locked onto her grave eyes. "I want to know who I am. This kingdom is all I've ever known. If something happens to it, it happens to me. Why do I feel that way, Shale? You are my most trusted servant. Please, if there's something you know about me that I don't, tell me." The maidservant stammered when the door burst open, making both Angel and Shale yelp and jump backward. The queen stood in the open doorway, eyes wide and panting. "I'm sorry to barge," said the queen, "but you must come quickly." Queen Tilda led Angel and the maidservant out of her quarters and through the empty palace halls. The queen skittered across the floor, the clop of her heels resounding through the palace's vacancy. Shale and Angel panted to keep up. "Where is everyone?" Angel asked, but immediately received an answer when the queen led them through the open entry into the front courtyard. The entire royal community had gathered together, and what seemed like the entire population of Madonna Bay stood on the other side of the palace's pillars, the guards in between the two crowds. The volume of their outcries grew less bearable as they approached. When the queen squeezed through to the front of the crowd, Angel and Shale trailing her, they saw a man in leather armor, dirtied from travel, holding a box, and the crowd of both the royal community and the city had encircled him. "Who is he?" asked Angel. "He entered our gates and said he has a message from Mercher and Rezin," said the queen, "but he refused to show anyone until the king approached." "Why is the entire population here to witness this, then?" "He stormed through our gates, disposing of two of our guards, and shouting his demands through the city as he approached. He wants to see the king and as many witnesses as possible." "So why haven't we killed him?" Angel asked as the fury welled in her. "He killed two of our men. Why are we entertaining this lunacy?" "Quiet, Angel," said the queen. "He says he has information on the Feld attack." "Information or not, you can't storm Madonna Bay, kill our men, and live to talk about it." Silence fell over Madonna Bay as the king approached from the palace, Koshner by his side. The royal community made a path as the king and his servant made their way toward the foreign messenger. "What business do you have with us?" the king demanded when close enough. The foreigner had a smile tainted with evil. "You sent messengers to Hydas to see if the rumors of the Feld's attack were true." The people of Madanave behind the man gasped and moaned with worry, whispering among themselves. Now the entire kingdom knew of the coming attack. "To see if the Abadonian Empire had risen yet. I'm here to tell you." The foreigner turned around and extended one of his hands, holding the box in the other. "And all of you, Abaddon lives. His Feld will steal Vrainin from Madanave, and there will be nothing to stop it." The foreigner turned back around to face the king, this time revealing eyes of glowing red. Angel grimaced at the fear of the people caving in around her. Koshner drew his sword and pointed it at the man's neck. "You know not what you speak. Your foolish words will be tolerated no longer, and they have cost you your life." The man laughed a haunting laugh, his throat glowing red. Koshner roared and sliced the man's neck twice, lopping his head from his body. The deceased foreigner fell to the ground, his head rolling away, and cries of terror erupted from the people, but not from the dead foreigner, for when Koshner had killed him and his body fell to the ground, the box he carried fell as well, spilling its contents before all Madanave's eyes to witness, the heads of Murcher and Rezin. Angel placed a hand over her mouth and embraced Shale with the other. The crowd grew restless and the guards tended to them. Koshner turned to the king and said, "My king, you must settle the crowd. Reassure them we'll see victory and this is nothing to fear." King Ozias stared silently, mouth agape and quivering. Angel stared into his fearful eyes, a tear now spilling from hers. "My king," Koshner said. After the king stammered too long for comfort, the king's servant turned to the people. "People of Madanave, there is no need to panic. Our kingdom still reigns the greatest. We've defeated the Feld before, and we'll do it again." "Oh yeah?" shouted a voice from the commoners no one seemed to match with a face. "How might we do that if all our wealth and resources are gone? What of the gold and silver? We're no good against the Feld starved." Then a number of things happened at once. Murmurs rose from the crowd, asking questions of losing their wealth, and the murmurs began growing into an uproar. The guards strengthened their border between the people and the royal community, and Koshner turned to the king with fury and fear. Angel worried how word got out to the public of the loss of their wealth. "Yes, Koshner," said the king finally as he stepped forward. Everyone went silent. "Tell the people how we're going to fight the most powerful army in Vrainin with no resources." Angel thought she might fall over from weariness. In fact, she did stumble and Shale gripped her harder. What was the king doing? He was giving in to the Feld's threats. Who was this man before the kingdom? Where had the proud Ozias gone to? "My king," said the king's servant, "I merely mediate between you and a spirit who owns these lands. I am not the lawmaker, only the messenger." "You're the only one who ever enters those veils," shouted a voice from the crowd again. "How do we know you're not lying?" Koshner eyed the king with worry, as if to beg for mercy with his eyes, as if to beg for his king back. But instead of coming to his servant's defense, the king folded his arms and stared wordlessly. The king's servant closed his eyes and holstered his sword. After a deep breath, he opened them and turned to the people. "The gold we've acquired has been cursed by the malpractices of other kingdoms. We are a kingdom to be set apart, and all of us should know that the power of Buon's spirit has always saved us in the past, and if he asks us to dispose our wealth, we should trust it will be replenished. If we don't listen to his wisdom absolutely, our fate will be the same as theirs." The royal sage pointed to the heads of their servants. "How dare you!" shouted a voice, and this time Angel placed it with a cloaked old man in the crowd. "You'd use the death of our messengers to sway us? You care nothing for us, only that we follow your rule. You want us as your subjects." Koshner hung his head in submission to say without words that nothing would convince them. Angel's heart tore in pieces, and she gripped Shale's arms to the point Shale winced, making Angel let up. "You see," said the king, moving forward, "Koshner came to me, asking me to dispose of our wealth. But I, your noble king, chose to only dispose of what we don't need and distribute the rest accordingly. This is why I am your king, to rescue you, to lead you." The people cheered, then voices shouted from the crowd. "Out with Koshner! No more sage! Get rid of the liar!" Angel turned her head to the queen when the queen tugged her arm. "Let's get out of here, girls," the queen said. In shock, Angel complied without contest, taking one final glimpse of the mayhem, while the people of Madonnave watched the king attempt to settle the crowd and his servants stepping away. Angel, in her last glimpse, noticed the maidservant standing by the king. Thea, what was she doing there? And was she whispering something into the king's ear? Alarmed, the princess searched for the king's servant next. She had to warn him what she'd seen. He'd have the wisdom for what to do. But where had Koshner gone to? After looking back and forth, Angel finally found him stepping away, likely to settle the crowd growing more violent-natured toward him. And while everyone watched Koshner walk away, only Angel's eyes of treasure watched Koshner walk away with the slow, disheartened walk of a man betrayed by his greatest friend.